What's up, Kings fans, and welcome to another episode of the Hockey Royalty Podcast, the official podcast of HockeyRoyalty.com. I'm your host, Scott Kinville, and it's been a long time since we've done this, since we've got the band back together, but darn it, we did it today, and we've got so much to talk about, but before we get to that, we want to let you know that you can find us on Twitter. You can find us at Royalty_pod, and also at Hockey_Royalty. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on YouTube, all that under Hockey Royalty. We are everywhere social media wants to be. Let's just put it that way. Anyways, we have got a lot to talk about. A lot of happy Kings fans as of late. And to discuss all these great things that are happening amongst the kingdom, like I said, we got the band back together. So I am going to bring in first our leader, our general, our president, the guy who leads us into the hockey journalistic wars every single day. It's the one, it's the only, it's Mr. Ryan Sykes. What's up, buddy?
That's quite the intro. I'm doing well, Scott. How are you?
Hanging in there, man. Hanging in there. I'm actually enjoying watching hockey. This is welcome treat.
It's nice to have you back as the host too. I don't mind doing it, but it doesn't come as natural to me as it does for you.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, I had to miss the last episode there. Life and work commitments. You know how that goes.
Yeah, so. No worries.
But we're back together. And speaking of which, the other musketeer of this three musketeers, this triumvirate of King's power, if you will. He is the Prince of PDO. He is the King of Corsi. He is the Emperor of all things analytics. It's the one and the only Mr. Russell Morgan. What's up, buddy?
Playoffs? Question mark?
Hey. I haven't heard that word in a long time.
Right.
How you been, bud?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Good to have you back.
Yeah, thanks. It's like I said, this is just... like I was telling you guys the other night, this is just like a big peanut butter jelly sandwich. It all goes together so well. So anyways, guys, we have got a lot to talk about, and most of it's good. So let's dive right in. Last night, our LA Kings beat the surging New York Rangers. The Rangers had a chance to go into first place overall in the NHL until they visited Crypto.com Arena. We got to come up with a different nickname for that.
Staples? Is that right?
Anyways, our Kings beat the Rangers 3-1 and looked pretty darn good doing it. Sometimes you win games through puck luck, sometimes you get a couple breaks. The Kings just pretty much took it right to the Rangers last night. So, guys, overall impressions from the game that went down in Staples, or sorry, Crypto, last night.
So, yeah, I mean, it was... It was good. I mean, it was a real kind of like litmus test for this team. I wrote an article that the Rangers are up there in the top of the league with in terms of hitting. So they play just a real physical style. I mean, that was kind of their MO this offseason, right? Bringing in Ryan Reeves, Barclay, Goodrow, and others. But the Rangers started out, first 5 minutes or so, they kind of controlled the pace. They had a real good chance on a turnover like 30 seconds in. But then really after that, the Kings kind of took over and they didn't have any goals to show for it in the first period, but it was nice to see them break through in the second. You know, Trevor Moore was involved on both of those goals. And then to get the empty netter there at the end was awesome. You know, it was, for me, it was good to see them respond to the Rangers' goal with 8.5 minutes left and not fall apart that we've seen in the past. Right. You know, they just kind of kept plugging along and they scored with the empty netter. So Kempe's 16th goal of the season ties a career high for him.
Yeah, so you know he's looking to get paid. He's in a contract here. So. Russ, thoughts?
Yeah, it was just another great, well-played, Corsi-filled game for the LA Kings since the return. I mean, if you look back to since they came back from that little shortened break, besides the Vegas game where they were kind of just getting their feet wet coming back from that holiday break, I guess, they've been playing well in every game. And it's only really been special teams that have really hampered the Kings so far, but right. I mean, just look up and down the line, the first line with Kopitar, with Kempe, and now Iafallo's back. They're playing well. And then you have the second line, which everybody's now considering the first line, and Moore, Deneau, and Arvidsson, which is playing, they're playing extremely well. I mean, anytime you, it seems like everybody that plays with Philip Deneau seems to just elevate their game to the next level. And Trevor Moore is taking that next step, being put in that position. So it's just been really good to see. And you have to talk about the resurgence of Cal Peterson the last two games with the shutout from Detroit and going back to his stellar play last night. I mean, he made that really great save. I think it was on Strome in the first 35 seconds of the game. And you're talking about just setting the tone right off the bat. I mean, if he doesn't make that save, you're talking about a letdown of a start for the LA Kings. So to have that big save for him and to continue his play style to what he was in the last few years, that's just good to see. And it's a good problem to have for Todd McClellan when you have Jonathan Quick, who's been playing really good hockey, and now Cal Peterson starting to live up to his hype. That's a good problem to have in almost a 1A, 1B situation going forward. But for the Rangers game, it was strange because you watch the game and you see the Rangers kind of – they make their plays. They get their good chances. But the Kings kind of were okay with letting them make the, like get those chances. But then they counterattack constantly. Mm-hmm. And you saw Adrian Kempe getting constant three-on-two rushes or odd-man rushes. You saw Arthur Kaliev with a good chance. And Trevor Moore was skating all over the ice. And it was just – that's kind of been the MO of the Kings recently where – they'll give up those offensive zone chances outside in the outside areas and then really make their rushes up ice. And that's kind of that was kind of the MO of last night's game as well. So it was a good win, and it'll be another tough test coming forward with the Pittsburgh Penguins coming on Thursday.
Yeah,
we'll get a tribute video there.
No.
Yeah. It was nice to see Kempe shorthanded too. I forgot who was with him, but nearly scored another shorty. We're used to seeing the reverse of that, you know, when the Kings are on the power play.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I have to tell you guys, of course, you guys know I live in upstate New York, so I had to watch the Rangers broadcast last night because the Kings was blacked out.
How was that?
So it's kind of funny for starters. I do want to say they didn't mention 2014. I don't know why. they did. But they did have a very interesting observation. And sometimes, you know, it's interesting to hear what other teams see in your team, right? Because we almost kind of like live in this this tunnel vision of we have our own view of our team that we watch all the time. So it is interesting to see outside voices and hear outside voices, I should say. And anyways, they did say that since the championship teams, that the Kings used to be a big, physical, burly team that would wear you out. They said that this is no longer the case with them, but they're an extremely fast team now. Which is something I was like, wow, I haven't heard those words in a long time either. You know, but it was nice. I was like, you know, and then you think about it, it's like, yeah, no kidding. They are. That's what they do now. So it was great to hear that from another team's perspective, that this is suddenly a fast team. And guys, I think it's only going to get better, to be honest with you.
Yeah, if you look up and down the lineup, there's players all over the place that can – really take the puck at a higher speed than anybody else in the NHL. I mean, you look at Trevor Moore and Victor Arvidsson with Phil Deneau and Alex Iafallo, who was showing off his speed. You have Rasmus Kupari on the third line, along with Turcotte, who looked pretty good last night. And then Blake Lizotte, Brendan Lemieux, and Arthur Kaliev are one of the better fourth-line teams in the NHL right now. So there's just four – I mean, and that was something that Todd McClellan mentioned last night, that he's getting really good play out of all four lines. And that's just – that's what's been to help with that consistency since that return. So if the Kings can continue that consistent play from all four lines, they're going to be a dangerous team, especially at home. And that's kind of what we talked about a few episodes ago, that if the Kings were going to be successful this year, they were going to have to be a successful team at home. Because when you can get that last change and you can send out Phil Deneau against other top lines that they have been doing the last few games against Elias Pettersson with the Canucks and Dylan Larkin, and then last night against Artemi Panarin, he pretty much shut him down. And we had heard that, I guess Jim Fox mentioned on the telecast, that Alex Iafallo was almost given the job to kind of shut down Adam Fox too, and we saw that happen where Adam Fox wasn't really that evident throughout the game. So there's a lot of good things happening right now with the LA Kings lineup, and hopefully it can continue going forward.
Yeah, and you know who else was shut down last night? It was Chris Kreider.
Yeah.
Chris Kreider's been doing a lot of damage this year, and he was pretty much not – didn't hear from him.
And Panarin. too. He made his return to the lineup last night, and I think he only had a couple of chances that I remember.
Yeah. But, you know, I'll tell you, guys, the Kings, believe it or not, are starting to remind me of a fast version of the New York Islanders. Roll four lines, get a lot of shots. Scoring can still be an issue. But, you know, and look what the Islanders have done over the past couple of years, this year notwithstanding.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of those just observations. And, Russ, I think you hit it best, where you got players up and down the lineup that can contribute now. And when you get all cylinders firing, you're right, it's going to be a dangerous team. I'll tell you what kind of stood out to me last night, and it didn't show up on the score sheet, but was it just me or did Rasmus Kupari, even though he only got about 10 minutes of playing time, seem to be all over the place last night?
Yeah, he looked good last night. Yeah, I mean, what did you guys think about Alex Turcotte on the wing?
I liked it.
Yeah, I think Turcotte's been pretty good in the couple games he's played so far. It seems like he's been, like, so close to a goal on multiple occasions.
I know.
It's wild. I mean, like we were talking about it last night a little bit throughout the game. That's like, man, this game just feels like Alex Turcotte is going to get his first goal. And I don't know what it is, but he's just been snake bitten ever since he's come into the lineup. And that's kind of been all over the Kings lineup, I guess, throughout the year, that the Kings are able to get high quality chances and just can't convert them. But I mean, is that a problem? I guess when you're not winning games, it's a problem. But now that the Kings are winning games with pretty good goaltending and solid defense, that's not really an issue. So if they're converting higher chances than the other teams, that means obviously the team's not getting as many good chances. So that's just good. That's a good thing to have.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, I just want to touch on this too, that you mentioned the goaltending. We do want everybody to know that there is nothing wrong with Jonathan Quick. there was some panic, I guess, my God, Peterson started two games in a row. What's going on? Nothing. You know, actually, it's pretty smart management, to be honest with you. Quickie is, what, 35 years old now?
Yeah, and, 36 you know, next month.
Pace he was on was not going to be sustainable. So, to be honest with you, Cal finding his game again, it couldn't have come at a better time. Really. I mean, that there's just no ifs, and, ors, or buts about that. Hey, you know what? We'll take that win, and we got the mighty Pittsburgh Penguins rolling into town on Thursday. Geez, they're doing their thing again now too.
Mm-hmm. They are, and obviously the noteworthy item there is Jeff Carter returns to Crypto or Staples, whatever we're calling it. obviously, he'll get a well-deserved tribute video, but something of, I guess, something to note here. You know, when the Kings traded him to Pittsburgh, they acquired as part of it was a 2023 fourth round pick. It can be upgraded to a third rounder in 2023 if Jeff Carter plays in 50 games this year. He is at 28 games played with 48 games left.
Go Cards!
So,
just on Thursday, yeah. He can play.
So, I mean, it's definitely trending in a direction where the Kings are going to have another third-round pick in 2023.
Yeah, you know who else is coming back to the Pittsburgh lineup, too, is Geno Malkin.
Yeah, he is. I think they play tonight.
Yeah, I think so.
So, you think he's coming back, and then obviously Kings will see him.
Yeah. I don't know if we're going to see Brian Rust, though. He was placed in the COVID protocol. I think it was Saturday.
Okay, yeah, he'll be out then.
If it's a five-day, then he'll be out.
He'll be back.
Should say, but you know, that's another guy they're gonna have to watch out for. I mean, ever since he came back from injury, this guy's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, but you know what though, again, when they're rolling their four lines, they can present fits for anybody. And Russ, like you said, if they've got the last change, then that's just matchup heaven for Todd McClellan.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can, if you've got a high powered team like Pittsburgh who has got Sidney Crosby and Geno Malkin down the middle, when you got that choice of putting either Anze Kopitar or Philip Deneau against them anytime you want, that's awesome. There's just no if, and, ors, or buts about that.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because the Kings were playing so well on the road before they came home, and then they had that dud against Vegas. But now they've obviously turned it around 4-2, you know, with one game left on the 7-game homestand. To Russ's point, just getting on the right track back at home is just crucial for this team.
Yeah, and besides the Predators game, even they could have came out on top of that one. I mean, I thought that was a really well played game, and the Predators are kind of surprising a lot of people this year. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody kind of envisioned them to be where they're at right now. I actually thought I really liked watching the Predators play. They play a really in your face type of hockey game.
They do.
But I mean, besides the special teams play that happened during that game, the Kings played well and they could have came out on top in that one. But yeah, it'll be fun to watch Pittsburgh come into town on Thursday. Jeff Carter, obviously. Evan Rodriguez is playing outstanding for Pittsburgh right now.
That's right.
That they're leaning on. But yeah, you're starting to see that foundation of the next level of Kings hockey being built right now with Deneau. Kopitar is still going to be around, obviously. Byfield's doing his thing. We'll talk about him. And then Blake Lizotte's been surprising, and Alex Turcotte's getting games. There's a lot to like right now with the Kings, and hopefully they can keep it up.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. And you know what? You mentioned Quinton Byfield, so let's talk about him.
Let's do it.
He is recovered. He is back. He is down with the Ontario Reign in the AHL. And as of late, guys, he is just absolutely lighting it up down there. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, Kings fans are clamoring to see the return of Quinton Byfield to the lineup. However, with the team playing as well as it is right now, there really isn't much room to insert him. So what do you think the plan is going to be, say, for the next month or so?
I think right now you just have to get him more games in the AHL. That's just – like you mentioned, Scott, the Kings right now are playing too well, and everybody – all the forwards right now are having pretty good games. I mean, I guess you can look at the third line maybe being some options there with Kupari, Turcotte, and Dustin Brown. Dustin Brown's obviously not going to come out of the lineup, so you're looking at probably Rasmus Kapari, Alex Turcotte. Alex Turcotte's just getting his games, his feet wet in the NHL, so I wouldn't envision him coming out. And Rasmus Kapari, who's kind of been turning it up, he's been up and down throughout the year, but he's a first-round pick that was drafted, I think, in 2017, so you have to envision him getting some more ice time throughout the year. So, I mean, right now, with the way Quinton's playing in the AHL, you can't There's really no need to really move him. Just keep getting those high quality minutes, those top line minutes, and he's producing. So it's just he's playing good. So why change it? What do you think, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, who do you take out of this lineup right now? If we're probably at the beginning of the season, it's like, okay, maybe Blake Lizotte comes out. Maybe you know, whoever we were talking about, third line center at the time in the preseason. You know, maybe they come out, but you're not taking anyone out of the lineup right now. The fourth line's rolling. Third line is, you know, Dustin Brown's kind of flanking Kapari and Turcotte, you know, being that veteran presence for those guys. So I thought Kapari is, you know, like you said, Russ, he's been up and down, but he's learning, you know.
Exactly.
He had a really good zone entry on Doughty's blast against the Red Wings. He had that carried it into the zone, pulled up, and fed it right to Doughty for his first even strength goal this season. But yeah, he's shown flashes. I'd like to see him show a little more offensive capability, but I think that'll come just as he gets more experience. You know, did you guys happen to see that Jay Fresh tweet just before we hopped on here? You know, the goal breakdown by over the last like 10 years by age.
No.
Anyways, go check it out. Basically, to sum it up, you know, younger players are not scoring as much as they once were. You know, the percentages were leaning towards the players closer to 30. You know, I think that could be why we're seeing Adrian Kempe have such a successful year. You know, just kind of putting it all together. It took him a long time to get to this point.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. Go check it out.
Hopefully the rest of the Kings prospects aren't on that development curve. And can kind of come in a little bit earlier. But that's funny that you mentioned Kempe, because when I watch Rasmus Kupari play, I kind of get a little bit of an Adrian Kempe, kind of a young Adrian Kempe.
Yeah, sense I can to it, see
where,
that for sure.
Where you can kind of, you see, you know, the speed is there. And you see flashes of it, and you're just kind of wondering, like, okay, where's this consistency? Because, or that assertiveness? Because right now, I mean, I talked to you guys last night about it. Right now, Adrian Kempe is a totally different player than what we've seen the last few years. I mean, last year we were talking about, oh, let's trade him for whoever we can get at this point.
Right
but now, he's the leading goal scorer, 16 goals on the year, And he's just assertive whenever he has the puck. He's like, I'm using my speed to get in the zone and I'm getting a high quality chance. And we're seeing that almost every shift. And you're kind of hoping that's the type of player that Rasmus Kupari can kind of develop into, because he has all those traits to be a fast player. He has those flashy lateral moves. So if he's able to put it all together, that's just another player that can be added in, or that can be a good boost and impactful player on the lineup. But I mean, but it's funny, we're mentioning all these players and we're forgetting a player like Andreas Athanasiou, who's possibly going to be coming into the lineup on Thursday. Mm-hmm. So where do you slot him at? Carl Grundstrom was playing good. We're coming to a point right now, especially coming close to the trade deadline, where what's going to happen with the LA Kings roster? I mean, this has been the question throughout the year, I guess. Is you have all these players that, okay, now that everybody's actually starting to play really good, you don't really have any extra holes. What do you do now with this extra talent? I mean, look at what Gabriel Vilardi's doing in the AHL as well. That's another player that we have to talk about, that you have to talk about. A first round pick, the top 10 overall. So, I mean, there's going to be some big changes coming up in the offseason. And now with some changes to management, maybe we will see that.
Yeah, maybe even before Rust, you know, if they got these players that are increasing their trade value by the day, you know, maybe you package a few of them together, a couple picks, what have you, and, you know, Jacob Chychrun's in an LA Kings uniform.
I was just going to say, there's a defenseman in Arizona that everybody is clamoring for.
Oh, man. I feel like people have already bought
it. It's not Alex Goligoski.
Those number six jerseys are flying off the shelves already.
I'll tell you, though, thank God for the taxi squad. If you at least hide a few players there for now and then, you know, worry about, you know, that's only, I think that's lasting until All-Star weekend, I believe.
It is.
So that'd be the, the first weekend.
And then they'll reevaluate. But yeah, I mean, the players there have to be making under $1 million. So you can't slot in Athanasiou there.
Right.
You know, when it's convenient.
Well, I tell you, you know who I felt bad for was Martin Furkh. Finally got the chance to come up, you know, and then it was fleeting.
Yeah. I mean, when he comes out of protocol, he probably goes right back to the AHL, right? I mean, there's not a spot for him anymore.
I mean, he goes back to the bottom of the, not the bottom of the pile, but they're going to want to get Byfield up.
Yeah, the cycle starts all over again, right?
Yeah, I mean, what do you do? Sorry, Ross, I didn't mean to cut you off there. But
no.
Sometimes I have to speak my mind or I totally forget it.
You know? It's totally fine. It just kind of sucks for the player, because, I mean, if Martin Furkh was healthy last year, he would have gotten plenty of playing time. I mean, there were a lot of open holes, I guess, on the Kings roster at the time. There weren't that many young players making the step up that they are now. And that was time that Martin Furkh could have been using to kind of make a statement in the NHL. But right now, you have young players like Kupari and Turcotte and all these others that are making an impact on the roster. So there's really not a need, I guess. I mean, you don't really envision Martin Furkh being a part of the Kings' future, but you kind of just hope to let him show that he still has the capability to be an NHL player. So that way, who knows, maybe another team wants to pick him up off waivers or when he's a free agent come next.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But I'll tell you, the Kings are just bursting at the seams like we've been talking about all year. Remember we talked about this in the preseason, actually, that it was going to be like musical chairs?
Mm-hmm.
And it's played itself out to be exactly that. So I don't know, guys. I mean, they could be players at the trade deadline, depending on where this team is. And you know what? They really do have a legit shot. And I don't want to get off on too far of a tangent here, but looking at that Pacific Division, and I still think if they're going to get in the playoffs, I think they're going to have to try to get that third spot, because I think things are going to kind of balance themselves out in the second half of the season. Whereas, you know, you're not going to have Minnesota and Winnipeg floundering for too much longer. You know, there's just going to be – Winnipeg's always the great unknown. Who knows what's going to go on with them? But the thing is, to get that third spot, you're going to have to leapfrog, say, well, Anaheim, you're going to have to hope comes back to earth. Calgary is starting to come back to earth. Edmonton, if they don't do something about that goaltending, I don't have a lot of faith in them either. So pretty much, to me anyway, Vegas is the only lock.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Ken Holland, Oilers GM, just had an hour presser this morning, kind of going like a State of the Union address. And he acknowledged, you know, where we were on December 2nd was really good. Where we are now is not. we're kind of somewhere in between. We don't really know. So I think they're eventually going to pick it up again. I mean, there's just too much talent on that team, at least offensively. I mean, goaltending, like you said, Scott, will certainly limit them as far as they want to go. But, you know, as far as the regular season, I think they can right the ship in time.
Yeah, well, I mean, and really, you can't discount a team that's got Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl on it. You just can't.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, we've been talking about trades, and we've been talking about scenarios and this and that. Well, the Kings did make a managerial move. They brought in Marc Bergevin, the former general manager of the Montreal Canadiens, and as a senior advisor to the newly re-signed Rob Blake as general manager. So what do we think about that move?
Kind of came out of nowhere, huh?
Yeah.
I know.
Came out of nowhere, and I mean, I really don't have – an opinion on it right now. I just need to see what his role is and what he's going to be advising, you know, Rob Blake with. You know, Lisa Dillman of the Athletic put out an article, you know, basically why did they bring him in given his tumultuous background and stuff like right. that. And I don't need to go into that, but you guys are all well aware of it. But, you know, she mentioned he can be able to objectively look at the Kings prospects that in a different way that, you know, the current management is more or less married to.
Right.
You know, and he made some good trades when he was in Montreal. So as far as maybe that department, I'm not talking about like acquiring Evander Kane or whatever. Let's stay the hell away from that guy. But, you know, legitimate trades that will make this roster better, a Chychrun, you know, if it's not Chychrun, another dynamic young left shot defenseman, right. just to get some more offense from the back end. It's just not there. I mean, they're sound, and don't get me wrong, they're sound defensively. They shut down mm-hmm. a pretty good Rangers team. You know, Detroit wasn't, I mean, they're significantly improved over the last couple of years, and they shut them down too, obviously, 4-0. But, when the forwards aren't scoring, they need someone else to step up. You know, I think that's been a big reason why they haven't been scoring on the power play either. You know, there's really nothing coming from the point.
Well, that's true. I mean, Drew was fantastic until he got hurt. And then, I mean, he still is. He's still an all-world defenseman. It's just he's not on that torrid pace that he was.
Yeah, and I mean, that wasn't sustainable. You know, I think he was on like almost a 2 point per game pace.
Well, he would tell you it was sustainable, but
then... yeah. So no, I guess to make my answer long and drawn out, I'm going to hold my opinion to see what his role is with the organization.
Right. What do you think, Ross?
Yeah, I think Ryan hit the nail on the head there. It's just you have a. I'll talk about just the hockey guy in terms of Marc Bergevin. We know about all of his other stuff that he's done. Logan Mailloux draft pick, all the other things that have happened recently. But just as far as the guy as a hockey mind, it's just another mind that comes in to the room where you have Luke Robitaille and Rob Blake, who are really married to these prospects that they've developed and drafted over the last few years. That, okay, we're going to be attached to these players, and these are the players. So now you have another guy who's been in the league for however many years who can come in and kind of take an objective look at these players and tell you, okay, this player looks good, that player looks good, and maybe give you another thought on who they can bring in to help with the team. I mean, we talk about it as a surprise, but it's been known about how Luke Robitaille is really good friends with Bergevin. So that relationship was kind of already known, but to bring him in to help with the Kings as a senior advisor, I'm just kind of envisioning him helping out with maybe bringing in players from the outside of the Kings organization. So you're looking at helping out with trades, acquisition or free agent acquisitions. I mean, as soon as he came in, people were starting to partner the Kings with Montreal Canadian players that Bergevin brought up.
The Gallagher one,
you heard Gallagher's
that?
Name being brought up, which is ridiculous. The guy signed some ridiculous contract for who knows how long. Don't want to touch him. No. But I mean, you got to look at other players too. That maybe that could happen. I mean, Ben Sherrod is a upcoming UFA who's stated in the past that Bergevin has made a huge impact on his career. I mean, that's a 30-year-old left shot defenseman who could be an asset to the Kings, who maybe plays that Alex Fedler role in upcoming seasons. I mean, we're speculating here, but I mean, you're kind of looking at that kind of impact that Mark Bergevin will have on the room. And I guess it doesn't really hurt the team. I mean, yeah, you can be upset about his recent, I guess, impacts that he's had in terms of the question marks, questionable things he's done. But if you're looking at just from a hockey standpoint, I think it's a decent addition.
Yeah, you know, when I first saw that, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, why are they bringing a distraction, right?
Yeah.
But then, you know, the more I got to thinking about it, and, you know, you always kind of get past that knee-jerk reaction, right? For one thing, Bergevin is not going to have the final say on anything, for start. I don't think that's – I think we can all agree on that, you know. And, yeah, you're right. He definitely made some questionable moves as the Canadiens GM, but – like you said, Ryan, he also made some really good moves. And I really think it's going to help them in the long run to have an outside voice to advise Rob Blake, to advise Luc Robitaille, because they haven't really had that since, you know, Ronnie Hextall was gone.
Yeah.
Mike Fuda, you know, we forget about him. Mm-hmm. You know, I really think that going forward, they need to have that outside voice to say, okay, here's what you need to do. Here's what you know, listen, we know you love these guys, but, you need to kind of look at this differently. And what I like about it too is that Mark Bergevin comes from the Eastern Conference. So if you're going to be looking to trade for talent, or if you're going to be looking at anything else in that respect, it's good to have somebody that's got an eye on the other conference, because we all know that, yeah, I mean, in this day and age, technological advances, information is always right at our fingertips. But it's also, you still can't replace having somebody who's got actual experience in the trenches, so to speak. Right. I mean, you can have all the scouting reports you want, but the guy's been in the Eastern Conference for a long time and he knows what's over there. So that is going to help them in itself as well. Again, like I said, he's not going to make any final decisions. Hopefully it just kind of blows over and he's kind of like in the background, like the Phantom of the Opera. Like, Rob, if you need some advice on a trade, I'll be over here, Rob. You know, kind of one of those deals.
I think
we'll see how that plays out.
I think that's kind of exactly what he's going to be. I think it's just more or less just bringing in someone who's well connected with other people, like let's you say in the Eastern Conference. I mean, right. I saw him there last night, and all he was doing was networking with some of the scouts that are around. So, I mean, that's a guy who's probably, I mean, I don't know, but I'm sure he's well liked among the hockey management community. He's been in an NHL in some position or another for years now, so he knows people among agents. Who are players? So he knows a bunch of names out there. So that's just that. I don't see him making like telling Rob like, hey, you need to sign this player. You need to trade for that player. I think it's just more going to be like Rob's going to go to him for an additional,
right.
I guess, thought whenever he, mm-hmm. Rob has an idea or wants
a to sounding make a board.
Position. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah, like I said, I mean. At the end of the day, I don't think that this is going to be, in any form devastating to the Kings. You know, and again, say what you want about the and, you know, everybody's rightfully so entitled to their opinions, but he does have a great hockey mind as well. And, you know, sometimes you want to take that next step. You got to take some chances.
Yeah. It'll be interesting too, how long he sticks around. I mean, is he going to be like a Lane Kiffin? as soon as an opening comes up in the league, he's going to bolt, you know?
Awesome. I think that's kind of what the Kings kind of think as well. I mean, you're looking at a person who's been a general manager for years, and you have multiple general manager positions open right now with the Anaheim Ducks are just down the street pretty much. So mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe he wants to put an application for that position, or maybe he's just coming over just to wait to see if he can get that position. So I really don't see, there's been rumors that he's been Kauri's going to sign a contract to be the AGM for 3 years after this season. I don't see him sticking with the Kings for that long, especially with reports that Rob Blake's signing an extension as well. So I just think he's going to be kind of – he's saying, okay, I'm still involved in the NHL in some aspects, so if a position's open, give me a call. And I think that's kind of why he's here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That really does. But we'll see. We'll see. So anyways, guys, that was a lot of fun. We should do this more often, you know.
We say that every time.
Yeah, right? I know. And we always screw it up somehow.
Especially with the way the Kings are playing now. They're a lot more joyful.
I know.
So.
I know. I mean, yeah, we're not in here all miserable. And
what is this? I don't remember this feeling since like 2014. This is great.
It's amazing. There's no scowls. It's unreal. Oh, but anyways, like we said, we got Pittsburgh Penguins coming into town Thursday night. Kings are on a roll, and like I said, sit back and enjoy the ride. And this is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's finish off the homestand on 5-2.
Yeah, absolutely. That, and you know what? That was just what the doctor ordered right there. It's exactly what they needed. All right. Well, hey, that was fun. Let's. I guess we're out of stuff to talk about for now. But we promise you, we're going to try to do this again next week. Try. I didn't say we would guarantee it, but we'll try. Anyways, that's all we got, folks. Thanks for listening. So, for Ryan Sykes, for Russell Morgan, I'm Scott Kimball. Always check out HockeyRoyalty.com for all the latest Kings news and rumors and gossip and whatever you want to talk about. Anyways, thanks for listening, and we will see you next time on the Hockey Royalty Podcast. Go Kings.
See you guys.
Go Kings.